So I'd like to invite Tish and Cindy to come forward for a little conversation. And be sure to bring your oil lamps. Hand? Yeah, that's fine. Why don't you sit right there? Yeah, this is fine. Either one. Yeah. Look at that microphone. I want to see if these work. So with both these microphones, you have to hold them right up to your chin. And we'll see if this works.
I mean, testing, right.
Well, so thank you so much for participating in this little dialogue. So the place I want to begin is just do a little introduction for those who may not know you guys so well. So what brought you to South Church, and how long have you been here, and how'd you come to be here? Tish.
I've been here off and on a number of years. Way back in, when we were first married, 54, we lived in Lee. And my husband worked for the Eagle, covering Lee and Lennox. And we attended the Congregational Church in Lee. Then he was called to the service, and we went to Chicopee. He was at Westover, and I was organist for a while at the Congregational Chicopee Church. He came back to Pittsfield. He was not working for the Eagle anymore. He was working for GE. But we lived here 2 years, and our home became the South Church. That was when Reverend Gibson.
So Ray Gibson was pastor here.
Was the pastor then. We were here for about 2 years, and then we were moved to Connecticut by GE. And we spent many, many years, like 50 plus years, in Stamford. We did not join the Congregational Church there. We joined the Presbyterian Church.
Well, we'll forgive you.
Yeah. And then came time to leave the big house and retire. And where else would I go but to the Berkshires? And again, the South Church became home.
And through many of those years, you vacationed. You would come here in the summers, right?
Yes, we had a condo here for about 25 plus years. And during that time, we came here every Sunday. It was a place we felt very comfortable. And after my husband passed away, I continued to come here. And it's been a wonderful refuge and a beautiful place to worship.
And so after all those years, you became an associate member.
About 3 years ago. Yes.
So you're both a new member, and yet you've been connected to the church from the days of Reverend Ray Gibson.
A good many years.
Were the heydays in many ways of many of the downtown churches.
Well, there were two services.
Yeah.
Very large congregation.
Yes.
But I think in those days, the main idea was in the church, and there were many activities that took place within the church and the congregation. I didn't feel that there was as much of an outreach to the community as we certainly see today and what's happening in our church. So that's a very positive.
Yes, so you have a long-term view of the church. from the heydays when like 500 folks would come in the church, and now 500 come in the rear entrance.
Right.
Yeah. So, well, thank you, Tish. And Cindy, how did you come to be here? And where did you come from?
I grew up in southern Berkshire in a little village called Mill River, which is one of the 5 villages that makes up the town of New Marlborough, which is next to Sheffield. Most people never even heard of New Marlborough or Mill River. And we always went to the Mill River Congregational Church. Until there was one in Mill River, one in Southfield, and one in the village of New Marlborough. And of course, the day came when we couldn't afford all 3. So they sold Southfield, which is now a very exclusive arts place, sold Mill River. And so we had to go to church in Southfield. My father was traumatized because he lived in Mill River all his life.
Oh, a little louder, Sid.
Okay. So when I retired 2 years ago, I was looking for a congregational church, and I was church shopping. And this church is very friendly and warm and cuddly and totally not pretentious. And all, and I liked the idea of the food pantry, so I joined. Mm.
And how long have you been a member now? Couple years?
2 years this month.
2 years, yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, actually, no. I've been coming here for 2 years. I think I joined a few months after that.
And then your part of your career was being an ESL teacher, an English as second language.
Yes.
How long did you do that?
Oh, wow. 25 years.
25 years. And that was in Lee?
Yep.
Was that every?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I did some tutoring in Pittsfield, mostly in Lee.
Yeah, yeah.
So I feel very comfortable with people who can't get through a sentence without scrambling it all up. That sounds perfectly normal to me.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
So both of you, I see you on Wednesday mornings at the pantry. Cindy and Tish staff the bread table. And what time, and the desserts, bread and desserts. And what time do you usually get here on Wednesday mornings for that?
7 a.m.
I don't make that quite early. I'm there at 8-ish.
By 8. And then you're there until it closes at 11.
Until 11 o'clock.
Yes. And can you just say a few words about what it's like to be at the bread table and dessert table every week, every
She's
Wednesday?
She's the brains. I'm the brawn.
Okay.
Well, it's a wonderful experience. And I think we're getting to have friends that are our regulars. And we miss them when they aren't there. I think both of us try to make each of the clients who come welcome.
Mm.
We're sometimes so busy throwing loaves of bread on the table, but we try to have a hello and how are you today and mm-hmm. how are things.
Mm.
And try to help them if there's a certain kind of bread that they want mm-hmm. and are looking for. Mm. And I trust that they feel comfortable when they come mm. to that table.
Mm.
I think we are the sounding board for a lot of people who come who appear to be lonely and want to tell us their whole everything that happened this week and how many problems they have. And this week we had a man who said that he had not received his social security check and therefore he couldn't pay his rent and he couldn't pay any of his bills. So he decided he's going to throw a brick through a jewelry store window so that he can get arrested and spend the winter in jail. But we have a lot of people who tell us their whole life stories and the time it takes to grab two loaves of bread and a chocolate cake.
And what's it like for them to tell you their stories?
I think they're happy to have somebody to talk to.
Mm. Yeah.
A lot of these, especially the older ones, they're lonely. They don't have anybody who wants to listen to their personal problems and their medical. There's one guy I know his entire medical history, I think, from the day he was born, which is okay. He gets his bread, and then he wants to tell us that he went for this test and that test, and they found out this, and he has that, and, you know, and we just nod sympathetically.
Yes,
and
yes.
You know, eventually all the people that are backing up behind him push him along and we continue on.
Yep, yep. Why do you think people want to tell you their stories?
I think in many cases they're lonely.
Mm. Mm.
And they need support. Mm. And they need someone to be there to say we care.
Mm.
And I do feel the clients, they appreciate this, and they so often give us a good word, thank you, ladies, and even God bless you, that mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they're aware of what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone, but that's life.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can reach even one,
mm-hmm.
that's important.
And you listen to many more than one. You listen.
Yeah. Yes.
I watch you and you,
yes.
all of them all around the tables. It's part of the ingeniousness of this pantry, of the wisdom that it's not just about getting food into the hands of people as quickly as possible and get them out the door. There's another whole dimension which you're articulating in terms of listening. and telling their stories, and it's not a counseling session, so the line piles up, so you got to keep moving. And yet these are often very lonely people. And do you think that loneliness might have something to do with why they're at the pantry in the first place?
Yeah, definitely. I think each of them has a story to tell.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure if we heard some of their difficulties, our hearts would go out to them.
Yeah. Well, and if all of us think about times we've had difficulties, whether it's physical health issues or relationship issues or life issues, and we've had to rely on others, those connections that we have, of family, of friends, of our own bank accounts, of things we've inherited, of things like that, and how it's easy to take all that for granted of, well, if this happens, then I can do this, or I can call this, or I, you know, my daughters, you know, when they're struggling a bit, they call us up, and they talk to us at length. And when I listen to many of our folks come to the pantry, it just hits my heart of how many of them don't have any of that. And some of them, when they call to ask for help of a family member or others, the person on the other line immediately starts trying to wheedle money out of them. And so instead of getting support, it just gets to be worse problems. Or they come up with a scheme. Well, it's almost like a scam, and so the hole just deepens. And so then they come and talk to the two of you, and there's calmness, and there's kindness, and there's grace, and you're not able to, shovel money or solve the problems. Sort of like our gospel lesson where everybody, in the early church wanted Jesus to come back and just fix it all. And that didn't happen. And so you can imagine people getting disillusioned. But part of the story is, no, it's not about being it's listening more deeply, which is what you guys are doing. You're listening deeply to others. And you probably aren't aware of, as I'm often not aware when I'm with folks, of, well, I don't think I really helped all that much. And yet, sometimes since I've been here 28 years, people will come back many years later and say, well, you remember that time I talked to you? Well, that was such a huge help. When was that time? It's like, and so there are things that you're offering far beyond bread and desserts.
It certainly helps you appreciate what you have, because when people go through the line, we say you may have one dessert and all the bread you can use. And so I said that to a man one day, and I said, he took one loaf of bread, and I said, you can have all you want. And he said, well, I said, you can put it in the freezer. He said, well, I have to hold my refrigerator closed with duct tape, so it's really inconvenient to have anything in the freezer.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
That makes you think.
Yep.
Twice.
Yeah, well, there are many individual stories, and I noticed, like, if I can say, and I'll see you next week, that seems to put a good ending to things. They know that they're welcome, and we'll be there for them, and have some more bread. And it's wonderful the way Mary has organized things. I can remember, like, maybe about a year and a half ago, we were saying only one bread. But now with her help and God's blessings, we have an abundance. And so we can say limitless.
And these connections we've continued to make with the different grocery stores.
Yeah, well,
places
yes.
Where, and people who go off and pick up the bread here, hither and yon, almost every day,
yes.
Along with other things.
Yes, I think they have become very generous. More so than I can remember when I first started doing this.
And it's a good thing we have that walk-in freezer, because we always go through all of the fresh bread that's there when we show up, and the fresh bread that's delivered during the course of the morning, all that's gone by 9 o'clock.
And so then you're getting frozen bread.
Yeah, and then we get the bread that comes from the freezer upstairs.
Yeah, yeah.
And we usually go through all that, too.
Yeah, yes. So it's quite a web of connection. And do you see a connection between the cards and the book and what I was trying to tell the children about feeling connected and how that draws you out of loneliness and can kind of strengthen, kind of give you fuel for your lives? So
It's really a fun job.
Yeah.
It's very rewarding.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, there's connections. I just love giving stuff away. It's really, it makes you feel great. Have all the bread you want.
good. And some people are just so thrilled. We have one woman who comes who has, how many children does Jennifer have? Six?
Seven.
Seven? Oh, she has seven children. Mm. And we always save her a big, big, big cake. Yes. And she's always so thankful because she's feeding seven children.
And I think so many of our clients look happy when they're leaving. Mm. Not just because they've gotten the bread and the rolls and so on, but maybe they've heard somebody say, we care about you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it was very nourishing to me to go through the line of the children and to speak a word of blessing to them and how you just could feel them absorbing it a bit. Do you feel like that? That you're kind of not saying a word of blessing officially, and yet blessing our guests?
Yeah, I think we feel happy with ourselves after we've done there, even though it's been maybe hectic and a little weary, but we feel good. Mm-hmm. About the experience.
I couldn't have said it better. She nailed it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very satisfying, and sure, we're proud of ourselves that we survived till 11 o'clock, Wednesday after Wednesday, because it's a hard job.
Well, 3 or 4 hours every Wednesday is a significant commitment. Yeah. And so
it's so much fun. I love doing this job.
Yeah, which is what gets you there then the next week. Yes. And so it's not just nourishing others, but you're nourished.
Absolutely.
So you find fuel for your lives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that story about the oil lamps, you know, and the foolish and the wise, the foolish ones just take what they have and then it runs out. And they don't go looking for anything. The other ones have extra. Do you have a sense that maybe God's led you to the pantry and the bread table as a way to provide extra oil for your lives?
Maybe, because I had to work really hard to sign up for this because Mary Wheat was so busy that I kept filling out the card saying I want to sign up for the food pantry, and she never called me.
Oh.
I had to track her down. So, yes.
Does it feel like it nourishes you, Tish?
Yes. Yes, indeed. I feel that we are gaining and having more within us than even the giving to the others.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, a friendship with Cindy, which was developing. Mm-hmm. I think that's very important.
We have a lot of fun when business drops off. We talk about the books we're reading.
Okay.
Which is an extra benefit.
Very good. Very cool.
No, I feel very privileged and honored to be able to work with Cindy on a project like this that's an outgrowth from the church and so on.
We're a good team.
Well, that's what when I come in, I see the two of you over there, and it always looks like you're having fun.
Yes.
So one of the interesting themes, as Tish, you were saying earlier, that years ago, the church was focused more here, and communion happened here among us, which was all holy and good and powerful and continues to be. And yet, it feels like the Spirit, you know, and in a way, we could say, well, by doing this communion, that will help Jesus come and solve the problems of the world. And hurry up, Jesus, let's get going. And instead, what Jesus seems to be doing is expanding our understanding of communion. So that you know, there's two of us who stand here handing out the bread and cup on those Sundays. Here you two every Wednesday, don't hand out any cup, but you're handing out the bread, the dessert, a cake. But it has a communion-like quality where you're blessing and helping others. And what's really cool theologically for me is how Jesus can surprise us, which is part of that story. You know, the bridegroom shows up at midnight when nobody was expecting him. Everybody was asleep. And it's sort of like I can feel like I'm asleep in terms of, well, I know how to do this ministry thing. I've been doing it for 35 years. And then it's like, oh, wait a minute, this other whole, and I know it's a ministry, but I don't always think of, I think of it as a social service ministry, but I've not thought of it as a ministry of communion and of sacramental. And it's like, you're sneaky, Jesus, because you've sent us two Eucharistic ministers who are blessing and healing and nourishing, not just bread and the desserts, but a deeper way that just continues to kind of stun me on a deep level of, so what are you up to in this world? Which is kind of the point of the story, you know? You got to be awake. You got to wake up, folks. Wake up. Pay attention. Something's going on here. You might miss it. And here it is. And you two, just seeing your faces, it's like they're up to something over there. So how does that look to you, Tish, for this longitudinal perspective you've had since the 1950s?
Well, I certainly see a major difference. Is that what you were asking?
Yeah.
It was a very active church. There were many, many groups. I was teaching at that time, so of course during the day I couldn't become involved. But both my husband and I joined the young couples group with Ray and found that very, very, so we made wonderful friendships. A couple of them I'm still in touch with today after all these years, because that was 57 to 59.
Wow.
But now I see the door is open, and the church isn't just within itself, but it's that outreach. And of course, so many activities, the doors are open for groups to come in here and have their meetings. And it's, I think, wonderful to see that the church is active. It's really doing something for all of us, not just within that church group.
And it's intriguing to me that both First Church and Second Church are very active at the pantry in a grassroots way.
Yes.
Which, and one thing you said a week or so ago was that as active as the church was back in those days, when there were 400 kids in the Sunday school, for instance, which just blows my mind. As active as it was then, it felt to you like the church in some ways is more active now than it was then, which was exactly what John Anthony, another one with a long, he wrote a history of the church, longitudinal view, said to me a year or so ago. He said, Joel, as active as it was back then under Ray, he loved Ray, it's more active now. Isn't that remarkable? And it was like you were quoting him, and yet it was, and there was part of what stimulates this thought of, pay attention, folks, Jesus is up to something, and you might miss it. And so out of this comes stewardship in terms of why do you give to the church of your time, talent, and treasure?
Because it's fun.
Because it's fun.
That's why I do food pantry, because it's fun. I enjoy it.
That's how giving should be. It should be fun.
Yeah, right. And I have friends who think I'm crazy for doing this. You get up at 6:15 and go there, and then you work like crazy all morning? For what?
Because
I feel great when I go home. That's why my back is killing me, but I'm really happy.
Beautiful. Do you want to add anything,
Tish? Well, I don't feel that it's like an obligation. That isn't quite the feeling. It's hard almost to put it into words, but I feel that it's what I should do, want to do, trust that I'm doing the right thing by giving, and it's being used in the way that God would want. But I feel that it's just part of me. Mm. I wouldn't really question, should I give? I mean, it's just there.
It's just who you are.
Yeah.
A disciple of Jesus. Boy, thank you so much, both of you.
Well, thank
you. Let me give them a round of applause. Well, thank you so much, and God bless.